The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles, copy of God's Word, and turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. What are some great truths that we've sung this morning to remind us of our faith and our hope is in the Lord, and not in our surroundings and our circumstances. Today, as I mentioned to you earlier, we're stepping out of our gospel series so I can speak to you in light of the things that's going on just in our world and in our own state. And just as you know, that's literally around the world, not just here in our local area. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 multiple ways that you could respond to this whole situation. One is ultimate hysteria. That's not right. One is flippant and not care. The opposite, to be flippant and caring and telling everybody else that they've lost their minds and they're crazy. And although that's not healthy either, because there may be some who have legitimate health issues that have to heed what the doctors say. But there's a balanced approach in all this. And as believers, you may be sitting here saying, I'm not worried about all this. Personally, let me just tell you, I'm not worried either. I'm not concerned. I'm not sitting at night twiddling my thumbs and wondering what in the world is going to happen. Even if something did happen, I want you to understand that as believers, our hope should be in something far greater than a chaotic situation. Our anchor of our soul is in Christ, who's unchanging. And so, although you may not be worried and fearful, there are many people around us who obviously are. The toilet paper aisles are empty, so people are worried. Shelves are empty. And nevertheless, we as believers have a message of hope to give people. We have a message to be able to help people to know why that you should be calm. And maybe if you were nervous or anxious, I'm hoping that after today, after you hear this word, that your anxiety can be returned to normalcy, to be able to rest and to be able to trust in what God's word says. And even if you've been fine, you're thinking, what can I say to people? I think Psalm 46 is one of the best texts you can be able to give people to be able to know what they need to do during times like these. This text very clearly is to remind us that God is a refuge for us. He is an anchor for our soul to be able to give us peace in the midst of chaos, normalcy, stability in the midst when things are unstable as well. So we're going to look at this Psalm 46. This is really what's called a song of confidence. And this psalm was used by the Jewish people when the enemies and armies would be opposed to them. And this song was a song that they would sing to say, even if everything around us is chaotic, we're going to trust that God is going to be our refuge and our strength. And I'm praying that this would be a song for you. And in fact, today, this is a verse that I would encourage you even to add to what we're doing in our scripture memory. I would encourage you to memorize verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, just to put that in your mind and your truth that you can be able to hold to, not just for now, but for the future when anything else of times like these may come our way. Let's read Psalm 46. As I read it aloud, I want you just to listen to this psalm. If you notice, just at a look at the psalm, I want you to notice at the end of verse 3, the end of verse 7, and the end of verse 11, there's this word that's called Selah. That's a word by which that was used there in the Hebrew there to mean to pause, to contemplate, to consider the truth that's just been spoken. And so, in fact, that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to take this psalm based upon these particular three groupings, that we will read verse 1 through 3, and we'll look at that. We'll read verse 4 through 6. I'll read all of it to begin with, but then we're going to break it down and look in those three categories to understand what does the psalmist and what does the inspiration of the Holy Spirit teach us today about God. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This psalm is a great psalm to remind us of some amazing truths. First truth that I want you to see, number one, is this. God's presence gives us peace and not fear in the midst of earthly chaos. This psalm can be applied into regards to what we're seeing now. It can be applied if there is amazing amount of war that's going on or whatever situations when there is chaos that's around us. This psalm should be something that we should sing as well. This psalm is something that we should hold to. This psalm is a truth that we should be able to recite and be able to say. Even if everything in your own individual life falls apart and everything else seems to be okay, you should still be able to say, God is my refuge. It is the truth that is here to remind us that knowing the truths of verse 1 lead us to verse 2. If we can know that God is a refuge and know that God is strength and know that he's a very present help in trouble, that's why you should be able to say in verse 2, therefore I am not going to fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is not saying that you're ignoring the situation. Faith is trusting that in the midst of the difficulties, you're resting in God. You're not allowing the circumstance to dictate to you. You're allowing your faith in God to dictate how you respond to the circumstances around you. Vastly different. Faith, not fear. There's different types of fear. The fear that is here. Now, in the Bible, it talks about having a holy fear for God, a reverential fear. But this fear that's right here is talking about a fear that is one that has consumed a person to the point that they're allowing the circumstances around them to mandate, dictate, and control, overwhelm, and consume them to the point they can't even rest in the faithfulness of God. I'm here as a reminder to all of us in this room and every person who streams and every person that you get to speak to, you should be able to say, I rest in God. So let's break this down. What does it mean to be able to say that God is a refuge for us? Because that's the very first thing that he's saying here. God is a refuge and strength. In fact, this line that's right here is the first of the three times that the psalmist actually says it. It's like that he says it in each one of these three groupings. He says it a little bit differently. Here he says God is our refuge and he's also a present help with us. Let me show you. There's two other places that he says it, slightly different wording. Verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress, much like a refuge. He is our fortress. And he says the exact same thing in verse 11 again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What does it mean to be a refuge? A refuge is a place that you can run to and be safe in the midst of difficulty. It's a place you can run to and know that no matter what's happening around us, you're safe there. Children oftentimes run to parents as a refuge when things are scary or things are difficult. How many of you have, as parents or grandparents, has had a child run to you when they've had a bad dream because they find that that's a refuge for them to go to? Well, I grew up in North Alabama, what was called Tornado Alley, where it was frequent in regards to having tornado warnings and having the sirens that would go off in the middle of the afternoon or at the night. We practiced tornado drills quite frequently, even in the school systems. They drilled it into us and drilled it into us because they never knew when that was going to happen. And so we had a refuge for my family that when storms actually would take place, we would go to that. It's what's called a storm pit or a storm shelter. I'm going to show you a picture of that for those of you who are not familiar with that. So literally, it's a bunker in the ground that you were to go to. I can remember many times as a child being woken up in the middle of the night by my father or my mother saying, we have to go. There was no delay in those moments. You jumped out of bed, you put on your clothes, you put on your shoes, and I trusted my parents in those moments to get us to safety. We would drive a couple of miles over to my grandfather's, and we all would huddle into the bunker, if you will, the storm pit. This is not our storm pit, by the way, but this is one that's very similar to that. And so we would literally, we would sit there and wait, and we would hear the sirens being going off. You would see the clouds and the coloration of the sky, and my grandfather, my dad would just be watching to see when it was safe for us to be able to go out, because we knew that if we were there, even if the trees were falling around us, we were buried down into the ground, that we knew that we had a refuge to go to. And I want to show you a picture of a place that actually was, this was needed and used. Look around. The refuge. Those people who were in that bunker, that refuge, were safe because they went to a place that they knew when things got chaotic, they could be safe. I want this image to stick in your mind. God is our bunker. He is your refuge. I am not saying this morning that there may not ever be times where things may get chaotic and it may get difficult. But what I want you to be anchored, even if the COVID-19 hit a mass amount of people in this area, I'm not trying to diminish that. I'm simply saying, even if this picture was to represent physical chaos and health and loss of life, that bunker is your image of God. Run to it. Hold to it. He will hold you in the midst of everything. Let me speak some reality. Even if it hit us personally, and there were people in this very church, our church family, who were stricken by it and say that, God forbid, that lives would be lost. Even in that moment, we would still say, God is still our refuge. You hold to that. We're not holding to emotionalism. When people have been asking me this week, texting me, what do we do? What should I do? I'm making a disclaimer. I'm not a medical doctor. I can just give you my wisdom in regards to what I'm thinking, but I'm not a medical doctor. My doctor by my name is not MD, it's PhD. There's a big difference between MD and PhD, okay? I can just give you my advice. But I know one thing I can be sure of to tell you, and that is that the refuge that we have in God will be the same refuge today. It'll be the same refuge tomorrow. It'll be the same refuge in 10 years and for 100 years if God does not send His Son Jesus back. He's a refuge for us to hold to. Now notice what He says again here in verse 1. He's a refuge and a strength. You know what that's good for? To know that? We can run to Him. And then also, He's going to be the source of the enablement to be able to endure those things. He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your spiritual strength. He's going to be your emotional strength. He's going to be your mental strength. He's going to be the one to give you the ability to make it through this particular time. But I want you to understand something very closely that the psalmist makes here. Do you notice the pronoun that's right before the word refuge? What's the pronoun? Our. God is our refuge and strength. I want you to hear what the psalmist is saying. The refuge and strength is that God is personal to those who know Him. Those who have a relationship with Christ should be able to say this. Even if you don't feel this, I'm telling you, if Christ is your Savior and King, He is your refuge and strength. You're in that pronoun of our. Because He is your God. And so therefore these promises are sure for you and for me that He can be your refuge. He can be the one who holds you. And He will get you through it. He will be your strength through all of this. Now notice, I want you to see this last part of verse 1. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This line that's right here, that meaning that God is a very present help in trouble. Let me tell you literally how it could be translated in the Hebrew. Literally, it could read like this. God is a help in troubles. He is found to be abundantly in this. The psalmist is saying to us, there's an abundance of the presence of God, that He is so much with us in the midst of these troubles, that He is more than enough for us in this particular moment. He is found to be abundantly. So what does that mean to you and to me? You can't tap out God's resources. Do you understand that truth? No matter what difficulty, situation, chaos, whether it's a literal chaos or whether it's emotional distress, you will never tap him out of a resource. You keep going. You say, well, I went there yesterday. Well, go to him again today. Go to him tomorrow. Go to him next week. Keep going to him. He's not going to be wearied in regards to you coming. But understand, the transition, though, to verse 2 is, therefore, we will not say it. Fear. Now, sometimes we have to tell ourselves, I'm not going to fear, but I'm going to trust God. Correct? In our humanness, in our fleshly weakness at times, we sometimes have to remind ourselves, as the Spirit of God may remind us, you have to say, I'm not going to fear, I'm going to rest in God. Now, if you just tell yourself, I'm not going to fear, I'm not going to fear, I'm not going to fear, what's the reason that you're not going to fear? Your fear has to be rooted in something. Just because that you're amazingly strong and mental? No. Just because that you have superior knowledge? No. Your fear is rooted in the character of God. That's what your faith, rather, is rooted in the character of God. Your absence of fear is not just rooted because you say, I'm just not going to think about it. No, this particular psalm is saying my lack of fear is rooted in God. You realize that fear can just, it can just strap you. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says in regards to anxiety. It says it these ways. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Put the word fear in that if you want to. Fear weighs you down. All you think about is that particular situation. But here it's telling us that we do not have to fear. I think when you look in this passage of Scripture, look at verse 2. What is he giving us this picture of in verse 2 and verse 3? Let's kind of understand what he's literally saying. Therefore, we're not going to fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Here's a picture that he's given. He's given this imagery to say, even if the mountains were to crumble and to fall into the middle of the sea, he said, I'm not going to fear about this. Now understand the context in regards to what is actually being said here from their actual geography there. Some of these people actually probably lived in a place called Rift Valley. And Rift Valley was a place that was prone to earthquakes. It was prone to things being unsettled. And so the psalmist and the people of Israel were saying, look, even if our world literally crumbled, we're going to rest that God is our refuge and our strength. We're going to hold to those particular moments. You make the application now in regards to what's going on in the midst of the chaos of the virus and the news and the media and the worry and the concern, you should be able to say, I am not going to fear. I'm going to hold to God as my refuge and my strength. Now, I want to show you the second truth this psalmist gives us, that we're saying that we should have peace, but also not just peace, you should have stability. Look at me, if you would, at verse 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Here's the stability. She shall not be what? Moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Let me kind of help you understand what's being said here. There's a contrast that's being made here. In verse 1 through 3, he talks about the sea, mountains falling into the sea. And then here in verse 4, he talks about as a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The city of God being referenced to Jerusalem, where the people of God, where they had their temple, the place of worship. Now, literally, there was not an actual river that ran through Jerusalem at this time. He's speaking kind of symbolically here. But what he's making reference to is the aspect that there is a river that gives peace. And his point being here, in the first part, when things are falling apart and the seas are all tumultuous, there is a source, if you will, that gives stability to us, the presence of God. He says, because God is in the midst of her. There's a sense that gives us some stability. To think of it from a ship, if you will. When a ship is out at sea and if things are too chaotic, if it's close by, then they will anchor down to be able to anchor in the moments when things are crazy. Sailboats have the kiln at the bottom of their own boats to be able to counter the waves and the tossing. They will pull the sail down so that then the sailboats can be able to balance out in regards to what's coming on. There's some stability that's happening for them. For us, for you and for me, what's going to be your stability? Your bank account's not going to hold you stable. Your family may be there to support you, but ultimately what's going to hold you still? What's going to hold you stable when moments of things happen to you that you weren't expecting? When the moments of things that you were not wanting to have, that phone call, that conversation, that email, whatever it may be, what's going to be? Hear what he's saying was, God is in the midst of us. His presence. Now, how do we apply that to our lives in the New Testament? We don't have to have a physical building to be able to have the presence of God. Literally, what we have is the Holy Spirit who lives in us as believers. That when we place faith in Christ, we repent of sin, we believe in Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He becomes our stream, if you will. He becomes our river, to use this same analogy here. He is the one who comes into us to be able to give us peace. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. The nations may rage, the kingdoms might totter, but God, he utters his voice. And if he speaks, the earth can melt. Let me put it to you this way. Could God stop all this chaos instantly right now? Absolutely. So then the question is, why do these things happen? My prayer is that through this, people will recognize that help is finite. And there's a need for someone greater in their own lives, because what this teaches us is we're not actually in control. We have to depend and rest upon one that is in control. You know, there is a story of a song that we actually sing. Some of you may know the story. It's an old hymn called "It Is Well With My Soul." Do we know the song? Some of you probably know the history behind that song, but before I read this history, I want you to pay attention again to verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Psalmist is talking about that river is what brings peace and stability. Let me read you the history of this song. "It is well with my soul." It was written from a very dark time by the author. And I quote, "Life can be so unpredictable, joys and sorrows. Beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties can come unexpectedly. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant. We all know this to be true. So how can we find peace amid such turbulence?" Horatio Spafford, who was the author of "It Is Well," knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney and real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Around the same time, his beloved 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking a vacation would do his family some good, he sent his wife and 4 daughters on a ship to England, planning to join them after he finished some pressing business at home. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship that his wife and 4 daughters were on were involved in a terrible collision and sank. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all 4 of Horatio Spafford's precious daughters. His wife Anna survived the tragedy. Upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, quote, "Saved alone, what shall I do? ?" End quote. Horatio immediately set sail for England. At one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck the Spafford family, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were now passing over the very spot where the shipwreck had occurred. As Horatio thought about his daughters, words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind. He wrote them down, and they have since become a well-beloved hymn. "When peace, like a river, attends my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. it is well with my soul. So when you read Psalm 46, and you hear the psalmist say, there is a river whose stream makes glad the cities of God. Horatio Spafford, experience that river of the peace that comes only from the Spirit of God in a moment of such tragedy. To lose your business, to lose your son, to lose four daughters, and only to have a wife that survived. How can you say those things? It was rooted in the fact that he knew that God was going to be his refuge and strength. That's faith, my brothers and sisters. That is an anchoring of a soul that can only come from the Spirit of God that's in us. Jesus promised in Matthew 28:20, he said, I will be with you. How often? How often? Always. Always. May we not forget the truths and the promises of God that he is our refuge. He is our present. He is our river of stream who makes glad the hearts of Byron Brown, who makes glad the hearts of you. He makes glad our hearts through the presence of the Spirit of God. And so our anchor is through God Almighty. Rest in that truth. And there is promise. There is promise in the midst of difficulty and storms and chaos that God's going to get victory. He will get victory. So God gives us peace, he gives stability, and he will give victory as well. Look at verse 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Hear what he's saying. Here is the person who's writing this. They've experienced war. They've experienced people coming against them. And now they're seeing God be victorious. And he's saying, look, God's finally come to our aid. The psalmist doesn't say how long it took. Some of you have experienced victory after long periods of time. God doesn't promise to keep us protected from difficulty or sorrow or tragedy or loss. But he promises us the presence in the midst of the loss, or in the midst of the difficulty, or in the midst of the tragedy, or in the midst of the chaos. And what we can be able to say, just as much as we say God's our refuge, we can say, I don't know when, I don't know how it's going to be, but I know that God's going to bring victory. And that's what he's saying. Look, now he's saying God's going to do it. And this is where verse 10, this is where our anchor needs to be. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. What does that mean? That doesn't necessarily mean to be quiet. But let me tell you practically what that means. Let me translate it for you. Put it into our own language. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Stop trying to figure it out and trying to control the chaos, because you can't control the chaos. Be still and know that I'm God is a way by which the author is saying, let God do what God can do, and you rest in what God can do. That's what that means. Be still and know that I'm God. Does that mean that you just sit still in your recliner, sit still in the car? Does that literally mean that you're paralyzed? No. That means this afternoon, that means tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go about my life, but I'm going to be still, meaning I am still from anxiety. I'm still from worry, and I'm resting in God. I am being still from the wrestling and the uncertainty, but I'm going to rest in the fact that I know that God said he's my refuge, and I know that God says my strength, and he's going to help us from step one, step two, and step three, and step four. And I'm going to rest in those things. You know what's beautiful about this? I love what God says in verse 10, verse 11. I will be what? Say it with me. Exalted. Not, I think I might be. I think it's a good idea. God says, I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The promise is this. God is going to do something to exalt his name. You say, when is that going to be? Listen, there's going to be times where God will do things in our country, in our world, to get his attention, to get our people's attention, the world's attention, that they need something far greater than them. Listen, I don't care what politician group that you're a part of, I'm telling you, the main hope is not in politics. The main hope is in God Almighty. We need to pray for our politicians. I don't care if you're Republican, you're Democrat, or independent, or whatever other groups that are out there. Our hope isn't in politics. We pray for them. But our hope is in Christ alone. No politician can fix the mess. No politician can ever cure disease. Only God can. Our world's hope is in God Almighty. So at some point, God will be exalted. If not in this near future through this particular situation, there will come a time, as Paul says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will get glory. So what you and I can do in the midst of all this is not point people to worry, but point people to the God who can hold them fast in the midst of difficulty and allow God to be exalted in your own life. Allow God, for those of you who are posting through Facebook, to use that as a venue to post truth, to post certainty. Rather than just posting things that are negative and chaos, may we post things that will point people to the greatness of God. Let's help people be anchored in something that's far greater than ourselves. Be still and know that He is God. How can we actually get to that point? I want to answer this practically, though. How can we actually have the peace within our hearts and our minds? More than me just telling you we need to do this. You have to be able to be resting in the characters and the truth of God. And I want to end by looking at a passage in the New Testament that can help us practically. Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me. Philippians 4, Paul, I think, gives us some very good instruction how to be able to have peace. Philippians 4, verse 4 through verse 9, Paul talks about having peace in our minds and our hearts. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what's the connection? Back to the previous verses. Don't be anxious, but pray. And if I'm trusting in Him, what's He going to give me? Peace. But then there's some practical things that we need to do to supplement, to add, to make certain I'm getting peace. Verse 8. Finally, though, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, what's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on those things. So put the context together here. He's saying, first of all, don't worry, but pray. But practically, he's saying, make sure you're thinking on things that's actually going to help you not to worry. The things that are true, honorable, trustworthy. What's truth and honorable and trustworthy? I can tell you the multiple venues of media is sometimes questionable. That will fill you with fear and worry. But what's going to be true and honorable and trustworthy is the character and the certain of God. Rest in that. Filter everything else that you're listening to, but make sure you're thinking. Listen, if your mind is being filled with tons of media news and the balance is not being filled with the truth of God, then certainly you might be filled with worry. So he's saying, whatever's honorable and true, think on these things. And then verse 9. And what you've learned, what you received, what you've heard, what you've seen in me, practice these things. And what's going to happen? The God of peace will be with you. So practically, what you're hearing from me this morning, what you've heard and the things that we've sung about today, think on those things. Think about those songs that we've sung this morning. Think about the fact that we've sung God's for us. Think about the fact that God is your rock. Think about the fact that you said you don't have to be afraid. Think about the truth that God is faithful. Think about the fact that God is your refuge. Think about the fact that God is your strength. Think about that image of the bunker and the shelter. Think about those things so that when your heart or mind begins to worry, you're anchored to God. We need that anchor of our soul. But I know that some of you who are here, maybe some of you who are streaming, are worried and anxious. And today it may be the fact that you need to call out to God and admit, say, God, I've been fearful, because let me tell you something, He already knows. But acknowledge what's already true. But then say, God, help me to anchor my faith in what is true in you. Help me not to be filled with worry. And some of you might truly need to confess and lay the worry down and trust in Almighty God. Secondly, some of you who are in particular circles where maybe you have a community of people that's looking to you or listening to you and wanting to hear what you have to say, then it's an opportunity for you. Opportunity for you. Maybe even for some of those people on those yellow slips of paper that you've been writing down, for you to be able to point them to the God of hope. Because people need hope in a time of distress and chaos. Practically, this is a time for the church to be the church, honestly. You know, there are people who are told that they can't go anywhere, so they have to adhere to what doctors have to say. It's an opportunity that maybe for those who are elderly that have to stay home, it's an opportunity for us to be the church to actually serve them. Go get groceries for them. Go get medicine for them. Let's be the church. But may I just encourage you today, my hope in this today, is to send you out as people who've been fed and encouraged hope to be able to go spread hope and the gospel and the good news to whoever it is that you come in contact with, to tell them God is the refuge. And maybe they don't know God is the refuge, and this is the opportunity to point them to So let me just ask you this time, just bow your heads. I'm going to ask you musicians to come. Today, as we have our response time, I want to simply to encourage you in this moment of response time. As they begin to play, we're going to give you just a moment as they play quietly, just to respond yourself. To ask yourself to reflect on your own walk with the Lord in this particular moment and ask, are you actually living in fear? Or are you trusting God right now? And it may be in this moment you may need to just simply say, God, help me to trust you. Help me not to worry. I want to rest in you as my refuge. But secondly, maybe you know someone who is simply panicking. They're worrying. They're afraid to do anything. Maybe you just need to lift them up today. Pray that God will use you and your own words to them to remind those individuals of the hope they can have in God. Father, today we've heard simply, we've heard clearly from this Psalm 46 that was a song of confidence for the people of Israel. A song that they would sing, a song that they would hold to know that when the mountains would fall into the sea, they would rest in you as the refuge and strength. So God, thank you for those who were here together in this room. Thank you for those who are listening by streaming today. We're here today because we rest in you. People are gathered around their iPad or their computer or their TV today because they're resting in you. So Lord, I do pray for every person who's listening right now, that if we have been prone to worry, that we will be more in tune to trust. God, if we know anyone who's just filled with anxiety, they just feel strapped, I pray, God, that you would use us to be able to point them to the truth of your word. Help people to act in wisdom, to not be flippant, but to be careful. But God, I do pray for a third group of people. If there's anyone in this room, anyone who streams today or anyone who listens in the future, and they cannot say that God is their God, if they cannot say that they have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, help them to realize that they don't have refuge and they don't have strength and that they need you. So Lord, I pray today for people in this room and those who are listening, that if they need to bow to you and acknowledge you as God and Savior, then God, I pray today that you would help them to take that step of faith to trust in you. So Lord, as we sing this song, that yes, I will lift you high in the darkest valley, I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now as we sing this, it'll be a song of faith, a calling out to you that we trust in your holy name. So Lord, in this moment, deepen our faith. Help our belief to increase. Help our faith to trust in the one who is our refuge and strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and we sing, as we respond here, as those who respond who are streaming, let's sing this song as a faith commitment. Yes, we will lift his name high. But I'll be here at the front. If you need to pray, if you need me to pray with you, you come. Let's respond as God has spoken to us today.